Hey everyone, welcome to Thomas and the Bible. We are on the book of Exodus, chapter 9. And just a quick recap, Moses has been performing all kinds of miracles, which has led to the death of all kinds of things. But the Pharaoh won't budge because God won't let him budge, as he says a couple times, despite all the harm it is causing him. It's such a stupid, contradictory situation. Okay, so getting on with this stupidity. Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh." Oh, my favorite phrase. Maybe that's how he... Oh, now we found it. That's how he knows he's not circumcised. "Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, 'Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain,'" which just means like bad cattle disease thing. "And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel." You know, if I were someone in Egypt, I would have just done like, "Hey, quick one-day loan. I'll give you all my cattle for any money you have, but with the option to buy all that cattle back the next day after any, you know, any possible mass cattle murder." I know it sounds far-fetched, but just that's the stipulation. Just a standard contract. Just sign there. That's what I would have done. "And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land.'" That's a set time. Back then, that's as set as a time gets. "A set time, saying, 'Tomorrow.' And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." So there it is, six plagues. This one is just terrible. Thousands upon thousands of innocent animals just murdered for no reason. And why would the Pharaoh not budge? Gosh, so annoying. He must really be pleading with God at this point to let him let go. He's just like, "God, let me let them go, please. I've wanted to let them go forever. I don't need them here if it's going to cost me all this." Nope, God's not going to let him. "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, 'Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt.' And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast." Okay, quick question. What beast is even left? Upon man and upon beast, it said. What? They've all just been murdered. They were just murdered two sentences ago. Everything. They listed off like every possible animal that anyone could want was murdered. So what is he talking about? Okay, so here's the seventh plague. We're on seven. Seven plagues. Gosh. So now God is pretty much torturing all of the Egyptians because he himself won't let the Pharaoh budge. It's getting ridiculous. "And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians." If I were the magicians, again, I would have just claimed I did some of the boils. Like, abracadabra. See, ho, there's one. See that really pussy one just exploded? I did that. That was me. I did that. "And the Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh again, and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses." Come on, just let him give up already. Just let him give up. I'm sick of reading about this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to shew in thee my power, and that my name be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. So God's going to make it hail, because, of course, God's not letting the Pharaoh budge, so he's now going to kill more things. He feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, made his servants and cattle flee into the houses. What cattle? They're all dead. He killed all the cattle. This is so inconsistent. They can't even keep track of their own stupid lies. I don't want to have to do it for you. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast. Again, what beast? There are no beasts. And upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. Don't have to brag about it. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the halo. Very grievous. Okay, if this doesn't convince the Pharaoh, I don't know what will. Fire and hail? That's unheard of. Such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. So back when it became a nation, there was fire and hail and stuff. But since then, there hadn't been. So that's why it was particularly surprising. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. Again, what beast? And the hail smote every herb of the tree of the field and brake every tree of the field. So there's number 8. Again, what, you know, I've said 100 times, what beasts are even left? I don't even know what he's killing at this point. What men are even left, for that matter, after all this? But importantly, he's killing all the herbs, because that was probably the last thing left alive, was like some mint or something, like some basil was left out there. That's all that was left. He's like, I gotta destroy that. Die, basil. Die. If I were an Egyptian, I just would have freaking shot myself by then, or I would have murdered the Pharaoh by now for not letting the stupid Hebrews go. Just let him go. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Surprise, surprise. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Ah, okay, finally. It's over. It's over. This time, it's definitely over. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease. Neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And how would they not yet fear the Lord God? How? After all this crap, how would they not? I'm thinking this is made up. I'm starting to think that. I know, that's going against my, what I've been saying, but I'm starting to think this is made up. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. I don't know what any of that crap means. Who cares? I'm getting pretty sick of this book. And Moses went out of the city, from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. Oh, now that it's all stopped, there's no chance that the Pharaoh is going to turn back on his word, right? For time number 8. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, and he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. All right, this is just, you have got to be kidding me. So, it's absolutely clear that God is just turning the Pharaoh into a freaking mental patient so that he won't let these people go. But like 5 plagues ago, wouldn't people, the people of Egypt, just come in and confront him about this? Being like, hey, Pharaoh, will you just let them go already? No one even wants them here anyway. We hate them. Just let them go. We'll make our own bricks. I don't care. I'll do anything. We're dying out here. All my children, my firstborns, everything. We're dying. And what would have been Pharaoh's response? Oh, no. Don't worry. I totally got him this time. I got him. People are like, you aren't even doing anything. Don't you see where this is going? You're making no progress. Really, what would the Pharaoh even say to his people? Like, no, don't worry. This time, I've got a plan. I'm going to wait really hard this time and not let them go. And that will cause them to die. Like that, what else could he say? It's clear he has no plan. This is so fake, it's not even funny. Even if the Lord hardened the Pharaoh's heart against this, which I think is ridiculous, by the way, even if that were true, someone would have just murdered him by now. There would have been a coup, and people would have been like, we're not going to take all these plagues anymore. It's so obvious. So obvious. All right, on to chapter 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh for the 90th time. This is getting so tiresome. For I have hardened his heart, really, and the heart of his servants, that I might shew these my signs before him. So that's why he's doing this. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son that what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Oh, okay, so he's doing all this horrible stuff so that Moses can tell everyone who's boss. Oh, okay, no, that's reasonable, I get it. Or he could have just done some harmless miracle in front of everyone and gotten everyone on board, you know, and been all-inclusive. But no. I mean, it seems pretty obvious from that line that God wants himself to be known. So don't give me any of that, well, you know, if God told everybody, it wouldn't be faith, would it? Well, actually, what you're saying is true, and it's truer than you know. It shouldn't be faith. God should just come down and tell everybody. And it's clear in the Bible, from this sentence, that he does want everybody to know, but for some reason he's just plain incompetent about how to go about doing that. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped and remaineth unto you from the hail. Yeah, if anything is left at all, which there probably isn't, they're going to destroy it now, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill the houses, thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? A good point. As I made before, a good question. There's nothing left in Egypt at this point. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and our daughters and our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. So this is a little confusing. It sounds right there like he said he's letting him go. And then he says, the next line is, not so. Go, like, psych, faked ya. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So he sort of did a quick fake, like, psych, yeah, you can all go. Not only the men can go. So, like, he sort of tricked them, you know? I don't know. I just want to know what the hell makes him think he has some sort of bargaining chips here. Like, What is left for the Pharaoh? The Pharaoh has no power at this point. The options are let them go now or let your entire country and people die and then let them go. Like, oh, man, advantage Pharaoh, he says. I've got all the bargaining room here. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. And very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. So they were just really horrible, all these locusts. For they covered the face of the whole earth. The whole earth was covered. Or could it just be what you know of the earth? Yeah, probably that. So that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the fields through all the land of Egypt. So there's number nine, plague number nine. If all this were true, if all these plagues were true, I swear there is no way anyone is even alive anymore. The casualty count at this point is all of Egypt. It just has to be. There's no food left unless they're eating dead locusts and frogs, which I guess they could be, but... But the point is, all their food is gone. They've everything's been destroyed. They have no water. The river was turned to blood. The fish are dead. Everything's dead. What in the world would stop the Pharaoh at this point? Besides, but the Pharaoh's the only one left. He has to be. Otherwise, someone would have killed him by now and been like, "Dude, let him go." Excuse me. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Okay, sounds like finally it's going to be over with. There's no one left, and it's just the Pharaoh and just a country worth of dead bodies. So it's over. It's over now. Don't worry, guys. All right, the end. Finally. Nine miracles it took. Nine plagues. Now therefore forgive me, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away all the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Oh, come on! This never ends. Seriously, this is the most tedious thing I've ever had to read. This might be the stupidest thing in all the Bible yet, just because of how much it pretends to be, like how big of a storyline it is, and how, you know, like this could be pound for pound the stupidest thing we've yet read. So I guess he just needs an even 10 plagues that kill all of Egypt, even though all of Egypt is probably dead. He just needs an even 10 plagues. That's all he's waiting for. He's like, why stop at 9? That's no good. Go 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose away from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. How does that even work? That must have been a sight to see. So here's the 10th plague. I guess this one might not have killed anybody, but, you know, who knows what kind of consequences it would have. But anyway, everyone's already dead, so it doesn't matter. It probably just made it hard for them to bury everybody. That's all that's left to do. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only yet let your flocks and herds be stayed. Let your little ones go with you. Again, where is he getting this bargaining, you know, mood from? Oh, it is so stupid. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle shall also go with us. There shall not be an hoof left behind, for thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Unbelievable. This is so bad. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Huh. Sounds like he's letting him go there, but maybe. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Well, he might have just, I guess he just meant get out of my face or something. All right, on to chapter 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and of every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and of gold. And the Lord gave people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts, of which there are none left. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Well, that's, at least on the bright side, that's as bad as it's going to get. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Yeah. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people will follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. So that was just a short little chapter. It's already over. But it's plague number 11. There is no freaking possible way anyone is still alive in Egypt. It's it is a holocaust at this point. God has committed mass genocide. All because he himself wouldn't let the Pharaoh let the Israelites go. If Pharaoh was under his own power, he would have let them go at plague number freaking 2 and saved all of Egypt. But no, God. And this is another example of why this is so obviously fake, is that everyone would be dead at this point. There'd be no one left. There would be so much record of all this BS that's just happened. We'd be up to our freaking eyeballs in evidence for this. But nope, didn't happen. And this is really stupid. So on to stupid chapter 12. This is really starting to get to me. This is like the third time I've had to read this, so imagine. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. What in the world does that matter? Is this for, like, tax purposes or something? Who gives a shit what month you start your year? It's just an arbitrary division of time. Seriously, if the year started in March, would you give a shit? Who cares? What difference would it make? Why does God care about such petty things? He goes on, too. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And ye shall take it. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat it, the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning. And that which remaineth of it in the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And that little bit of all that garbage is an example of why I probably would have been killed 80 times over if I were alive back then. If I were Moses, I would have sat through all this, you know, this whole thing, and I would have been, yeah, okay, eat none of it raw nor sodden at all, blah, blah, blah. And then I would have said, okay, you know, the Lord is eat none of it raw nor sodden, you know, he's saying all that. And I would have said, okay. First of all, no way am I going to remember half that shit. And secondly, God, can't we just worship you or something? Isn't it enough that we do everything you say and all that, and you're our God, and you are, you know? I don't have any other gods. You're my... Do we have to do all this ridiculously meticulous stuff with sheep? Do you get something out of that? You still are an all-powerful God, right? Why do you need us to do any of this garbage? Then, bleh, would have been murdered right there. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I will smite the land of Egypt. And again, here I would have said, okay, you really need us to paint on our houses and stuff? I mean, you know who we are. I mean, can't you just know who's in what house and everything? I mean, you still are all-powerful, right? And then, blah, and then murdered again. Heathen, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And again, here I would have had to say, whoa, okay. All right, I can go along with some of this crap if it's really important to you, God, but really, if one of us just happens to eat leavened bread, we're cut off from Israel forever? Can't we just be good people and then we're fine? It really matters what kind of bread we eat for this particular day. And then probably by now, I think by now, at this point, I would have said, you know what? You've been great and everything. You've been pretty cool. But I'm actually cool with not having a God. I was doing fine before I met you. I think I'm just going to sort of opt out of this whole thing. Look, it's not me. It's you. And you know, I'm just, it's not working for me, God. It really isn't. This should be a two-way thing. And frankly, I'm feeling sort of like you're being a little selfish here. So good luck, everyone, with all the weird eating rules. But for me, life's just too freaking short. I'm just not going to remember all that crap. That's what I would have said. And then, blah, I'd be murdered again for the fourth time. And in this first day, there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. All right. Finally, a bizarre order I can get behind. All right, I cannot work on a certain day. And then I would have been like, hey, God, I'm back, by the way. Yeah, no, after this last commandment or thing. Don't you think, you know, every day is pretty important in its own, you know, little way. I mean, I could probably, you know, I for one... I can't speak for everyone. I, for one, could go for a holy convocation on, like, Monday through Saturday, or at least half those days. You know, we don't need to, and thus would not have to work on those days, right? I mean, It's convocation. It's important. It should be every day. It shouldn't be 6 days and then we don't, you know, or it shouldn't be one day and then we work the other 6 days. That's garbage. Blah, murdered. Blah. That's me being stabbed. I get blah, murdered. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. And they must have just been furiously writing all this crap down. They're like, okay, slow down. On the 21st day, at midnight or something, we can eat leavened bread, but not the whole wheat, just only sourdough, as long as there's a leg of lamb, hanging from our chimney or something. And then there's a red line painted on our dashboard, and then there's a cow has to be outside facing north on our, like, on the eighth day of the seventh hour of the ninth year of the, like, I don't know how anybody kept up with that. And I also don't understand how anyone could go for this garbage. What powerful God would need all these stupid, stupid rules? And if you don't believe in this God, then just admit that the Old Testament is garbage. It's not the same God. And then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Why forever? Why do they need? Is God going to do that every day? Every day he's going to kill every Egyptian's firstborn son? So they have to do this for all time? Can't they just have the one day? And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. Again, why? And it shall come to pass, when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Duh, kid. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of it. So, I don't know if what I've, when the last time I summed this up is. I think some of this is pretty clear. God's pretty much spelled out this ridiculous process of all these rules for Passover, because he's going and killing all the Egyptians and passing over everyone who followed these stupid rules. And then he says you have to do this forever on the same day, you know, on a certain month or whatever. And it says, and when your children ask you, hey, what the hell are we doing this garbage for? You need to say, because of this. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. That was unnecessary. He wasn't going anywhere. And all the firstborn of cattle, which there are none left. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And some there were two firstborns, so there were two dead. No, probably not. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. This better be the last one. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Bless you for what? And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. So now finally the people of Egypt realize it. Seriously, 11 plagues later, they realize it. If all this had happened, I'm pretty positive there wouldn't be anyone alive left in all of Egypt, as I've said. And this is BS. It's stupid and fake. Again, I could make the point 100 times. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were... Oh, by the way, I'm pretty sure that means, if I remember... there's like two things I remember from church when I was like seven. One of them is this. That just means, in case anyone doesn't know, I'm not saying you're stupid, but unleavened, I don't know. It means that they didn't give it a chance to rise because they had the leave. So it's a bunch of bread that didn't rise. So it's like these little... almost kind of flaky pita bread things. So that's what unleavened means. Because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Wow, 430 years. You know, at first I thought this meant they wandered around for 430 years. But I guess that means since the time of that they were total, since the total time they were in Israel. So yeah, it still seems a little long because it's only like a couple generations. But anyway, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even in the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. So pretty much they're... God's about to give them some more stupid rules, by the way. It's don't even worry about it. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. And at this point they're like, ah, damn it. Someone grab the huge ass rule book again. Hold on, God. Yeah, no, over there. Yeah, and grab a pen too. No. That one's out of ink from last time. No, grab a different one. Yeah, okay, God. What were you saying about who should and shouldn't do whatever the hell it was? Yeah, what was that? All the congregation of Israel shall keep it, and when a stranger shall sojourn with them, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass in the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children out of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Okay, finally, we are done. And that's the end of the reading for today, and I'm just... Probably more jokes I could have made toward the end about those stupid circumcision rules, but holy crap, I'm just so tired of this bit. I'm so glad they're done with all that BS. So, as always, send comments at thomasinthebible.com, or go to my site and comment, or do whatever you want. Write a review on iTunes. That'd be nice. And thanks a lot, guys. Hope you're enjoying it still. And see you later. Oh, wait. This is the end of the week. Oh, that's right. For you. Or some, no, it's not. These are late. I know it's late. This is the end of a week. It's not the end of the week. So, yeah, see you next week. On time, I promise.